Christ-likeness. So look at these things we see here. Mercy, gracious, not quick-tempered. He's slow to anger and he's plenteous, overspilling in mercy. Verse 9. He will not always chide. I had a hard time not commenting here. Somebody who is continually angry at you, just hard to get along with, you know. And the Lord's angry when we sin, but he deals with it, and then he goes on to improve our lives for his glory. He doesn't hold things against us. Aren't you thankful for that? So wonderful. We have a wonderful Lord. He hates sin, but he loves us, and he hates when sin is believed upon and starts destroying us. He hates that, so he has to do a little chastening to take that out of our souls so that we'll have satisfaction in him. So in verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's mercy. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. What father doesn't have pity on his children when he sees them fail in some fashion? We love our children. If they fail in some fashion, we can show pity upon them. Verse 14, for he knoweth our frame. This is the time frame of our life. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. Shines for a while, you know, but then he'll vanish away. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. What are children's children? That's called grandchildren. So do you want your life to affect other generation? You do. Amen. Verse 18, to such as keep his covenant. You know what the covenant is now, don't you? The new covenant, the blood of Christ. Remember the blood. And to those that remember his commandments to do them. So if we really have committed ourselves to that new covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ, we will manifest that by wanting to keep or do his commandments. Verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that means above humans, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, that's the angelic host, the armies of heaven. Then it gets down to us corporately, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Then it gets down personally. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord who? Oh, my soul. So you can just see where the Lord just brings that very narrow at the beginning, widens it up to angels, all ministers, and brings it right back down to our own soul. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that the proclamation of your word would be a blessing to you, the revealing of your character. We come here tonight, dear Lord, to worship you, to adore you, to thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that you didn't wipe us off the planet because we've sinned against you so many times. We can't even count. But on the other hand, dear Lord, you told us to count our blessings, name them one by one. You've loaded us daily with benefits, and they're all in Christ. All because of Christ. And if you've given us your Son, what are the lesser things that we desire? If you've given us your Son, what are the lesser things that we would desire? Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, all God's people say, Amen. So the psalm begins and ends with the psalmist preaching to his own soul to bless the Lord. And then he preaches to angels and the hosts of heaven and the works, proclaiming the works of God's hands. The psalm is overwhelmingly focused on blessing the Lord. As I said at the start, verses 1 and 2, if you look at those, it might be a good exercise every now and then, by the way, to sit down and count your blessings before you ask God for something else. It's a good time, this time of year particularly, to get along with the Lord and count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. This is true, and this is our God. So in verses 1 and 2, he starts off with this desire to praise the Lord in his soul. He wants to experience it for himself. Again, verse 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. He means his entire being now. Bless his holy name. Holy means unique. There's no name like the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. And that personal name is Jesus. The Lord's personal name is Jesus. His title is Lord. That's his being. The Lord Jesus, his personal name, and he's the one set apart that could only one could have done that work. Christ, the anointed one. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Very important to understand one's a title, one's who he is. One is his personal name, and the other is his title. He's the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah. In verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Well, can you tell me anything the Lord's done for you? I'm glad you asked me. Then he goes to verse 3 and starts telling us, how many of you like it when they give you these guides of worship, right? Well, David's giving us a guide of worship tonight. Can you thank the Lord for this one? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? These aren't only the sins, these are the things that are, the sins that are particularly disgusting to God. Even those that we've committed, he's wiped away. Aren't you thankful for that? How do we praise God and how do we sin against God? The same area, thoughts, words, and deeds, the work of our hands. Again, our thoughts. We can sin against God if we don't think rightly about God. Is the Lord good part of the time, or is the Lord good all the time? The Lord is good, and the Lord's good all the time. You've got to constantly be bringing that back to your mind, to be thinking rightly about God. Satan wants us to think wrongly about God so he can get us to act wrongly toward God. Say that again. Satan wants us to think wrongly about God so he can get us to act wrongly toward God. Adam and Eve are the example. They never knew evil, yet Satan attacked the character of God, said that God wasn't good in some fashion, and they believed a lie. Satan, three categories in which Satan works, and he's really good at them. Lies, and more lies. Can you get an amen there tonight? Lies, and more lies. Terrible. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and you will be surprised what the Lord hath done. Look at this one. Healeth all my diseases. You know the common cold can kill you, and I know some of you got a cold tonight. Don't share the love with others if you can. Tell them, you know, like, I'll try to shake somebody's hand. No, I'm not, you know, just, you know, okay. Keep moving. It's okay. I want to come to the house of the Lord if I've got a cold. But you know, a common cold, if left to itself, it could kill you. How many times has God delivered us from that one? A lot, right? But you know, one day, folks, our bodies will not be able to receive disease ever again. Oh, we're waiting for the redemption of our bodies, the full redemption. That's coming. The best is yet to come. And how about this one? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Oh, I just got to tell you. buying back bad deeds and replacing them with good deeds. How many of you are glad the Lord has bought us back? Brought us back, bought us back. Just a wonderful thing. The Lord has taken us out of all kind of trouble. And the evidence of that is that we're sitting here tonight able to come and praise and worship the Lord. The Lord's the one who gave us that. Wonderful. And he crowns thee with loving kindness and tenderness. This is just the heart and love of a true father or parent that loves their children, just pouring the blessings upon their head. And the list goes on with regard to these blessings. But then look at the end of the psalm tonight. He ends it with this blessing as well. Verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, where? O my soul. Now this idea of blessing the Lord is almost synonymous with praising the Lord. To bless the Lord means to speak well of his greatness and or his goodness to men. His greatness or his goodness to men. See, it's one thing to want to be good to someone. It's another thing to have the ability to do good to them. And the Lord has both. He's great and good. Psalm 34:1 puts it together like this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And notice the word mouth. It will be in my mouth. You know, we have a tendency to repeat what other people say, yes or no. So if you're praising the Lord with your mouth, sometimes someone will pick up on it and they'll start praising the Lord. Bless the Lord, as we already did, means to speak or sing about the goodness or the greatness of the Lord. I enjoyed the songs tonight, singing about the goodness or the greatness of the Lord. David's doing the same thing in the first and last verses, as I said, of this psalm. He's asking that we bless the Lord, and that speaking of God's goodness and greatness must come from our soul. Now, very important. Pay attention to this. Sometimes I don't feel like praising the Lord or blessing the Lord. Anybody ever felt that way? You know, if we just go on our feelings, we're doomed. We're going to be on the roller coaster of emotion. But I have found, I mentioned this before, when I start singing the praises of the Lord, it revives my soul. Why is that? Because when we bless the Lord, he raises up our countenance to him. Blessing God with the soul, the mouth, but without the soul would be called, listen to this, hypocrisy. What does that mean? Jesus said, Matthew 15:8, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So David here in this psalm is preaching to himself not to let that happen. And essentially, he's saying to himself, come now, soul, look at the greatness and goodness of the Lord. Join my mouth and let us bless the Lord with our whole being. He's talking to himself. How many of you know we talk to ourselves all the time? You know, the number one person talks to you is you. You talk to you more than anybody else. I know you're a little wacky, but hey, that's okay. But it's true. We talk to ourselves more than we talk to anyone else, and we better be speaking the truth to our soul. Listen, soul, join my mouth, and let's bless the Lord for his goodness. By the way, it's a command from God that we walk in the Spirit. Spirit-filled people sing unto the Lord. Ephesians 5:19 through 20. Speaking to yourselves. You see that? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've mentioned this one so many times, you're probably going to fall asleep. But don't fall asleep. Psalm 100, 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. There are some reasons why we ought to be a blessing, Lord. And we could look at the Lord's goodness and focus on that and stay there for about 10 years. You know, we're going to be giving the Lord praise for eternity, thanking Him for the riches of His mercy. There must be a whole lot about the Lord that we don't know, that we're not experiencing. Because throughout all of eternity, that's one of the reasons He saved us, so we could give Him praise for His goodness toward us through Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 107. Let's look at some verses here quickly. I just want to read about 10 of these verses. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Hey, listen, I don't belong to Satan. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid for me with His own blood. I'm redeemed, and I love to proclaim it. How'd you get redeemed? I got redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And you can be redeemed too. If you'll trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood for you on the cross, you don't have to belong to Satan anymore. You can give yourself to Jesus Christ. Come join the family of God. How about that for a little bit of witnessing tonight? Isn't that good? Why? Because the Lord's good. Look at verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Anybody ever cried, God help me, and God helped you? Well, then verses 8 and 9 are for us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. I texted that to John Van Gelder this afternoon, and he said, yeah, I love that one. For He satisfieth the longing heart and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Now, folks, only God can do that. Please don't put that on another person. Please don't put that on a situation. Please don't put that on something external. Please don't depend on anything else internally. It's the Lord that'll give that to you. It's the Lord that gives you satisfaction in your soul. Are you hungry for it? He said He'll satisfy that desire. Look at verses 21 and 22. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of what? Thanksgiving. And declare His works with rejoicing. Look at verse 32. Oh, that men... Are you tired of this yet? This is definitely a course. Verse 31. Thank you. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 32. Let them exalt Him, raise Him up also in the congregation of the people. That's what we're doing right now. And praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Even the spiritual leadership needs to be praising God. What kind of leadership will we have if we have people that didn't praise God in leadership? Leaders got to praise God. That's one qualification of a good leader. Man praises the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 43 in Psalm 107. Who is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You know what loving kindness is? You know what goodness is? It's a subset of the Lord's loving kindness. Because He loves us, He's good to us. Go back to Psalm 103. I have 4 points tonight and about 100 verses, so we'll try to... We're just preaching 2 services tonight because we didn't get one today, right? No, I won't be able to do that. But we'll enjoy the time that we have tonight. Verse 3, one of God's many blessings to us is our rest in His absolute wisdom, who forgiveth all our iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Oh, excuse me, verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. So in verse 2, I meant to say, is one of His benefits to us is wisdom. Boy, I like wisdom. And I don't do too well with foolishness. I practice foolishness. I think I'm more acquainted with foolishness, but I love wisdom. How many of you love wisdom tonight? Say amen. Somebody who knows what they're doing and they do it well because they love you and they want the best for you. Oh, that's wisdom. It's just so nice to know somebody who knows what they're doing. Now, I remember when I was in small engine repair. Dakota, you guys will like this one. Damn. I'll try not to lose the Ferrara voice tonight in this illustration. But did you know that I think I got a C in small engine repair? I had to move right on out of that class in high school. It was one of those electives, and man, was it dropping my... I was in the back of the class on this one. And I got to tell you, I still don't know how to fix a lawnmower today. But hey, what can I say? That's why, you know, everybody has their proper gifts and things. And small engine repair, large engine repair... I didn't get it from my granddad. You know what my granddad did? Harold, where's Harold tonight? You'll like this one, Harold. My granddaddy Davis on my mother, that's my mother's father, guess what he did? He worked on airplane engines. That was his occupation. Did you know that, Harold? Yeah. How's my grandfather? Fixing airplane engines. I don't know what happened to me. I didn't get any of it. I just went right on. I didn't get any of that side of the family. So, oh, well, that's the way it goes. We're all on the business management side, all of our family, all of our business management leaders. And see, the business manager leader is like this. Oh, you know how to do that? Okay, you're over here. You're over there. You're over. We know how to plug it in. You know, we're like this. But hands-on with stuff, not so good. Small engine repair. I might have been stretching it. I might have even got a D. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. It was terrible. I'm really embarrassed about it, but I had to drop that class because my GPA was really falling. Oh, well, these things happen. The wisdom of God. God knows how to do all things well. Now listen, you may not know how to fix an engine with these little things you go in here and there, or a large one, whatever it may be, but I can tell you this. God knows how to put every part together in your life to work for your ultimate good and His ultimate glory. Every part. Everything that's happened to you in your past, everything that you're going through today, and everything that you'll face in the future. Romans 11:33 puts it this way. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Wisdom of God. Jerry Bridges, in his book Trust in God, page 133, quotes theologian D.L. Dagg on his Manual of Theology, written in 1857. We're talking about how the Lord loads us with benefits every day, and we ought to praise Him for it. And we're looking at just one of these qualities tonight, wisdom. He says this, "It should fill us with joy that infinite wisdom guides the affairs of the world. Many of its events are shrouded in darkness and misery and inextricable confusion sometimes seem to reign. Often wickedness prevails, and God seems to have forgotten the creatures that He has made. Our path through life is dark and devious and beset with difficulties and dangers. How full of consolation is the doctrine that infinite wisdom directs every event, brings order out of confusion, and light out of darkness, and to those who love God, causes all things, whatever be their present aspect and apparent tendency, to work together for their good." Now that's God. That's our God. The second thing I'd like us to look at tonight is that God is sovereign. He is the absolute ruler over all things. Have you let your family and friends know that you are thankful that God is an absolute rule over all? God is an absolute rule over all. Look at verse 19. When you don't know what to do, fall back on the sovereignty of God, somebody said. I like that, don't you? Go back to the beginning. Go back to the cross. Verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Can we get an amen there? Amen. He reigns, and he reigns over all. Men can do whatever they're going to do, but I can tell you, everybody's heading the same. Look, everybody's walking the same way. Just like this. Like a soldier. Nah, that's pretty sad marching, but I'll just say this. We're all heading the same way. Everybody's heading the same way. What is it? We're all heading right to the throne of Jesus Christ. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do whatever you want to do. That's where you're heading. Amen? Make it look like you go in the opposite direction, but the train's coming into the same place. And it's going to stop at that station. The throne of God. That's what we mean by the absolute rule of God. The sovereignty of God. D.L. Moody used to say it this way. They got a train from New York to Philadelphia. And while the people are leaving Philadelphia to go to New York on that train, they can get up, walk around, eat this, eat that, drink whatever you want to. But the train's still going to New York and it's going to stop when it gets there. Amen. It's true of our God. So we need to let other people regularly hear us say, Lord, I bless you that your kingdom rules over all. My car breaks down. Lord, your kingdom rules over all. Instead of saying, why'd I get that flat tire? I got two tires in my basement right now. Because for some reason, my tire that I was driving on hit the curb as I was going around the corner. What's the point of this? Anybody ever said, Lord, what's the reason for that? There goes $100. What a waste of money. Right? Why did that happen? Why did this happen? Why? Just forget it. You know what? Lord, I know you're an absolute rule. I leave it to you. See, that's a place of safety. I got to tell you. The Lord is the absolute ruler over, listen to this, all people, all governments, all weather systems. I like that one, don't you? All animals, all molecules, every leaf on every tree, every ant, every grain of sand on the seashore, all galaxies. Boy, that was a jump, wasn't it? Grain of sand. Every star, not one falls without his direction or knowledge. Every lightning bolt hits his mark because he's the one that sends it. Now, when we grew up, I was a little afraid of thunder and lightning. You know, the boom, and then scare you out of your skin, and the next thing you know, this bolt comes down. Or sometimes it seems like it's the opposite. You know what I mean? There's that flash of light, and then the thunder comes after that. But then as I began to read the Bible, I started realizing, hey, wait a minute. My parents would teach me, the weather's under the Lord's control. So you mean we ought to not be cursing God because it rains on our parade? Well, it's going to rain on our parade every now and then. I think it'll be all right. We just reschedule. And if we can't reschedule, we just thank the Lord that it rained because we all love to eat. No rain, no food, no grain, no cows, no cheese, no macaroni and cheese, no baked macaroni and cheese. How many knows I'm looking forward to the macaroni and cheese sometimes? What? I love some macaroni and cheese. When we were growing up, it was macaroni and cheese. A couple of nights later, hamburger helper. Hamburger helper this, hamburger. Anybody remember what a hamburger helper is? Hamburger helper means you got too many kids and you got to stretch the meat and put water, add a potato, and says, oh, you got a guest coming? You didn't tell me you had a guest coming? Put a little, half a gallon of water in the pot. Stir it up, thin it out, and that's going to be it. Oh, Mom served it. You can't go up on your own. No way. She just, that's how it went. All right. And then she'd say, "You hungry? Still hungry?" The answer would be, "Yes. Bread and butter, bread and butter, bread and butter." And it wasn't that grainy stuff, you know, Lucy, where, you know, the good, it was that Wonder Bread. You wonder what was in it, you know. White stuff, 29 cent a loaf. It's a wonder we're still alive. But at the time, that was some good stuff. Throw that thing in the toaster oven, put some butter on it. You know what? It was good. And my wife, you know, one of these higher educated people. But anyways, she said to me from one of the poets, "What's the best sauce? How can you really enjoy something? Here's the best sauce. Hunger is the best sauce. Because when you're hungry, things can taste a whole lot better." You see, to the hungry soul, spiritually, even the bitter things are sweet. And that's where we're at sometimes. We might get one little grain out of this sermon tonight that'll feed our soul and take it away with you, because that's what God wants you to have. Bless the Lord. Everybody, great. All the angels, wonderful. Leadership, wonderful. But bless the Lord, oh my soul. God wants us to leave with our soul blessed and satisfied in Him. How about this one? Verse 6. Blessing the Lord because He is righteous. Psalm 103:6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Oh, so-and-so got away with that one. No, they won't. They might have a temporary thievery going on, or whatever it may be. Injustice might feel like it's raining at times, but God is the judge. He raises up one, He takes down another, and we are to praise God for justice and righteousness. This catch and release business, I don't praise our government for that. Three strikes and you're out. Well, what about the let them shoot first and before you? No. I tell you what, we need to be praying for things to turn back to law and order and respectability. Where there's not law and order, there'll be confusion, and every man will do that's right in his own eyes. And we're in really trouble when that happens. No, justice and righteousness are avenues for us to have peace in our society, in our city, in our homes. Somebody's going through our neighborhood, just a couple blocks over. I don't know how old they are or what they are. I saw a white van, white Honda van, I think it was. Two green stripes. You know, they just didn't get one door, you know. The economics start kicking in. You know, one door, just get down. Now they took from the front panel the door, the second door, all the way back. You know, the whole thing's got to be done now. A good job at being bad, in other words. And what for? A little bit of fun. There might be some fun in there, you know, if it's just kids being mischievous. But you know what that's a subset of? Hatred in your heart towards someone. That's why you want to destroy something that they have. See, folks, we need to have a blessing of God in our soul. When we bless God in our souls, we'll be a blessing to other people in our lives. So we are to praise the Lord, bless Him for His justice and His righteousness. Lord, we bless You, though the wrong seem oft so strong, You are the ruler yet. Right? We bless that justice that will be done in this age or in the age to come, but justice will be served. Why? Because God is the judge. Well, while we're judging other people through God's word, which He says to judge righteous judgment, let us realize that if we haven't turned to the Lord for salvation, we'll be judged in our sins. But if we have turned to the Lord in salvation, He's judged our sins where? On the cross. And therefore He's demonstrated to us what? Mercy. And that's our next one. Look at verse 3. He says here, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Look at verses 10 through 12. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Why is that? Because he forgave us. If you've forgiven someone, you change your attitude toward them. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him, who have a reverence or proper reverence for him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So when God the Father looks at us now, this is amazing, he doesn't look at us in our sins, he looks at us in his Son. That's a very important distinction. Bless the Lord who forgives all our iniquities. So, as parents, for instance, our children need to hear us praising the Lord, for this is simply the gospel. Righteousness, justice has been served because it was poured out on Christ, the wrath of God toward sins of men on the cross, and so was his mercy and grace poured out too. So on a regular basis, people ought to be hearing our affection for Christ. Let them hear our love for Christ because of his great love for us. Lord, I want to thank you and praise your name for forgiving me of my sins. And then that's a witnessing tool. Psalm 66, 1 and 2. Just listen to these. I'll read these quickly. Psalm 66, 1 and 2, 4, 8 and 16. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. O bless our God, ye people. Make the voice of his praise to be heard. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. I will declare what he hath done for my soul. That's witnessing. What has God done for you? I'm not sure if I'm a good witness for the Lord, Pastor. Okay. Can you just tell people what the Lord's done for you? Well, he's forgiven me of all my sins. That's what it says. And he's placed his righteousness in my account. We're going to look at that one. Those are two big things right there. How? Through faith in Jesus Christ. I can tell you what's going to happen if you start blessing the Lord in your soul. When you praise God for his goodness to you, he starts doing good works through you. When you praise God for his goodness to you, he starts doing good works through you. That's the result. Hebrews 13, 5, 15 through 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, which means to share what you have. Forget not, don't forget to do that. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You heard my prayer tonight, didn't you? About our offering to the missionaries. That prayer is answered, I believe, every Sunday. Our missionaries aren't just a part of this offering tonight. They're part of our regular tithes and offerings unto the Lord. They're part of our grace giving. We put it right into our mission of this church. In Romans chapter 4, listen carefully how righteousness, justice, and mercy, righteousness, justice, and mercy respond as they meet one another at the cross. Romans 4, 3, 6 through 8, and 23 and 25. Listen to this. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man in whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. When did David write that? Psalm 32. He wrote it after his sin with Bathsheba. A lot of these psalms are written by a murderer and an adulterer. But he was a man after God's own heart. If we take our eyes off of God, we can do it too. There's not one person in here that is above doing those things. Not one of us. Don't put any hinge of trust on your flesh. The armor of the flesh will fail you. David said, blessed is the man. By the way, he says in Psalm 32, Psalm 51, my inward soul began to melt away. It started to decay my bones because I did not confess these sins. Then God sent Nathan and said, this shepherd had all these sheep he could have taken. And this one guy, he went in and took this one little lamb, you know. And then David got angry. This man's going to pay. And Nathan said, you're the man. Boy, they just shook you right down from your head to the toes. You could have any woman you want. You're the king. But look what you did. You took another man's wife. You murdered him so you could have his wife. And now the baby that you're supposed to have, guess what? I'm not going to let it live. How many of you know life is a gift from God? Part of your judgment is the baby's going to die. That's what he said. And then, of course, Solomon was, after they were married in God's mercy, then Solomon was born. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. If you're a saved individual, you know what that feels like. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, that was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe that he raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered, crucified for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification, or so that God could declare us to be righteous. Wow. Now that's good news. So it is not a proud thing to say I'm just as righteous as Jesus Christ because it's his righteousness. We don't have any righteousness apart from Christ. Humble yourself, believe it, and live it. That's real freedom. The only righteousness I have, if you ever see anything good in me, that would be Jesus. All God's people say, amen. It just crucifies the flesh right there and exalts Jesus in you when you tell the truth like that, amen? And it doesn't beat you down or cause you to go away discouraged. It actually lifts you up. That's what the truth does, properly understood. It blesses your soul. Psalm 149, verse 1 and 6. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. This is the manual for praise. 150 songs in this book. A lot more than that, actually. That's what the Psalms are. They're songs of what someone is experiencing. You know what? It's a personal revival for me. Galatians 2:20. He loved me. And he gave himself for me. That blesses my soul more than anything I can think of. Jesus Christ loved me. And he gave himself for me. That encourages, that blesses my soul. As we meditate on this truth, it causes our hearts to revive and rejoice no matter what we're facing or what we're going through. We'll close with this. One of my father's favorite courses, I would hear him singing around the house growing up as he was reading something and walking through. He got up from where he was reading the Bible there. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. You know, open up the cabinet, you know, and getting a bowl down and start making some cereal. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, getting the milk out of the refrigerator, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich yet free. Hey, just live like that. I love that, don't you? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. As we begin to bless the Lord for who he is, we'll see that he is the blessing of our soul. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, you've loaded us with benefits every day, and you've blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. May we not just say it with our lips if our heart is far from you, but may we talk to our soul and join our mouths in blessing the name of the Lord. All God's people say, amen. God bless you, and you're dismissed.